We'll just see how it goes. Father, I pray today that you will bless your word, that you will have it to accomplish everything that you would have it to do in the lives and the hearts of everybody that is here today. And we give you all the glory, Father. And I pray, Lord, that today you will just minister. Father, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase, that as this word is spoken, Lord, your Holy Spirit will minister into those needs that are here in this house this morning, Lord. And in your arms that we will find the love and the healing, the hope and the encouragement that we're looking for. And that Jesus' name will be lifted up and you will get the glory.
Amen.
Amen. I know I've said this before, but it's a book, and in it I read, "Fear not tomorrow, God is already there." And there's times in our lives when everything gets out of our control and we feel as if the rug is pulled out from under our feet, and we don't know how we're going to cope, and we don't know how we're going to manage, we don't know how we keep going sometimes. And I didn't know that Andrew was going to be speaking on Isaiah 6, because I'm alluding to Isaiah 6 in this. Because in Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah is living in a time when King Uzziah has died. It's a time of upheaval, it's a time of change. And Isaiah says that he saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and his robe filled the temple, and God's glory and God's sanctification was touching everything. He was cleansing everything. He was making it holy. And wherever we are and however we feel, God is able. Isaiah 42:3 says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and the smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth." Or you could say it this way, because when I looked at the words that were, and broke them down, a bruised, a crushed, a discouraged reed. For reed, you can put yourself in there. He will not break, he will not hurt, he will not leave brokenhearted. And a dimly burning wick, he will not quench, he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. When we're bruised and when we're bent down by life, we can find comfort in God's unconditional love. Because he deals with us with mercy. He deals with our sins with mercy. He deals with us tenderly and in ways that reach our innermost parts. God is a holy God. God has to deal with our sins. He doesn't gloss over them. But he does it in such a way and with such mercy and tenderness that whatever we go through, he is with us. We are never left on our own. He wants to touch our innermost being. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared," Jeremiah speaking here, "the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you. Again I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt.'" And I know I've spoken on this passage of scripture before. Today I'm just referring to it. But God says, "I will build you, and you will be rebuilt." And you might think, "Lord, I'm broken. Lord, I don't know how. I'm a bit crumbly at the moment." God spoke this to his chosen people, Israel. He was speaking through his prophet Jeremiah, but through the cross, through what Jesus Christ did when he died and was resurrected for our sins, as an atonement for our sins, we are God's chosen people. We've sung such beautiful choruses today. "I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. I'm a child of God." In Jesus Christ, we are children of God. And therefore, as children of God, the words that God said to Jeremiah apply to you and apply to me. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. In the New Testament, in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, it's written, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions, even when we were dead in sin. Because of his great love for us. And I'm going to read Ephesians 3, 14 to 20, because it's just incredible to me the lengths that God goes to show his love. Not only through Jesus Christ, but it is in his written word, and it's a living word, and it's a word that will speak to us again and again and again in circumstances that we find ourselves in, again and again. And it's written there to remind us, God loves you. Paul is writing, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Paul wants us to know in our heads, to know in our hearts, to know in our spirits. It's difficult to grasp such love because we are so used to conditions. To buy a house, you have to meet mortgage conditions. In this world, it's an attitude of you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. We're used to conditions. We can't love ourselves unconditionally. We beat ourselves up over things. We remind ourselves of our failures. We look and we tell God all the things that he should be seeing wrong in us. And yet when we're forgiven, God says our sins are as far away as the east is from the west. God does not hold you accountable for your sin once you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. That is not to say that when we do things wrong, after coming to Jesus Christ for salvation, that we don't go. But the word says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive it. So we can't understand how God can unconditionally love us. It's because his love is perfect. And it's something that we need to keep reminding ourselves because we let ourselves down. But God says, you can't let me down. You can't fail me. I love you. You can't disappoint me. I know the things that you're going to do, but I still love you. I know that you sometimes do things you don't mean. I still love you. I know the things that you mean to do and you still do them. I still love you. God's love is an unconditional love. And hanging on the cross, Jesus chose to make himself helpless. He showed perfect love. And he showed us total reliance on God his Father. If Jesus chose that, helplessness, then isn't helplessness a valid experience that we need to totally rely on God? Does that make sense? If Jesus chose utter helplessness on that cross, he chose to totally rely on his Father God to bring him through the terrible thing he was going through. It shows us that helplessness is a valid experience that we go through to totally rely on God. Except we don't like to feel helpless because it makes us vulnerable. And we like to think that we have some control over our lives. God knows that. The Apostle Paul said he would boast in his weaknesses because that was when God was strong. And I can testify to that. It's in the times when I have nothing to give and I can do nothing to change the circumstance that I am in or that I see. That is when God shows me that he is there. He is able. I don't always know the answers and I don't always see the answers. But God is able. It's okay to be a bruised reed. It's okay to be that smouldering, smoking wick which is so close to going out. But God says, I will not quench you. I will not extinguish you. Amen. I will fan that flame. I will fan that life back into you. I will breathe in you. God gave us the Holy Spirit to enable us to have that breath of life in us. And when our own breath is expired and we feel as if we are about to go out, to be snuffed out just like a flame, God's Holy Spirit will breathe for us. We can come to God bruised and we can come to him bent over and he'll meet us where we are. And we don't need words. Sometimes you're beyond words, but God knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows sometimes we're angry. He knows sometimes when we're sad at situations. We are human beings. He created us. God doesn't plan for us to have difficult times. He doesn't plan for us to have tough lives. The devil can trick us into thinking that. He can trick us into thinking God wants less than the best for us. God doesn't plan for us to have difficult and hard lives. We know, we read in Jeremiah 29:11. I'll read it from the NLT. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. But we live in a real world. And we live in a fallen world. And we live in a world where our bodies are not meant to live forever. We live in a world where we see evil going on around us. And it comes into contact with us. And it comes into contact with those we love. Because we live in a fallen, broken world. But the hope for this world is Jesus Christ came to set us free from everything that is in this world. Because there is beyond this world. There is eternity. But God wants us to live to the utmost while we are in this world. And when we do face those things that cause us to be bruised and broken and bent down, he says, I am with you through them. I didn't cause this in you. I didn't create this for you. But living in the world, you have to go through some things. As Andrew said, through many tribulations. And through the trials, but God is in them with you. We often come to God with our own agenda when we're praying and we ask him things, but God has got something far greater in mind for us because he's got an eternal perspective. And an example of this is an overview of the woman who touched Jesus' garment in Mark 5. I'm going to read this. I'm reading from the NLT. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She'd suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she'd spent everything she had to pay them, but she'd got no better. In fact, she had got worse. She'd heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you, and you can ask, who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. This desperate, bruised, vulnerable woman bravely dared to break all the rules and all the traditions to reach out to Jesus. This woman was considered in the Jewish culture to be unclean and impure, and as such she should not have been around anybody. She was an outcast because of a physical condition that was nothing that she had no control over. There was nothing she could do about it. She had tried. It says she'd spent all her money, all her savings, for 12 years seeking help. And then she heard of Jesus, and she'd heard of the things that he'd done, and she thought, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to believe on the impossible. I'm going to believe on the unbelievable. How can touching a garment heal you of something you've had for 12 years? Because it was Jesus' garment. And because of the faith that she had in the name of Jesus. It was a simple action. She reached out and touched Jesus' robe. She sought healing secretly, but Jesus openly acknowledged her helplessness and he set her free. She went with an agenda. I'm going to hide myself amongst this crowd of people. They won't know my condition. And I'm going to come and I'm going to secretly come through this crowd and I'm just going to touch the very edge of Jesus' robe because he can heal me, and then I'm going to disappear again and then I can live my life my way. And it got so far. Her plan had gone right for so far. She touched Jesus, but she did not expect him to turn around and say, who touched me? Who touched me? And his disciples say, how on earth can you say who touched me? Look at these people. There's a crush, there's a throng of people. Because where Jesus was, the people followed. And she knows that she's been caught out. And now it's time to tell him everything. I was an unclean, impure outcast with an affliction beyond anything I could do to be healed. But Jesus, I knew you could make a difference to me. So I broke the rules. You untouchable woman, what are you doing? Coming anywhere near me? Take her away. I'm defiled. But Jesus says to her, daughter, he brought her in into his family. He embraced and accepted and delivered this woman. In that one word, daughter, he set her free. Has an eternal perspective on what that lady needed. She didn't just need a physical healing. She needed to be set free from everything that was holding her a prisoner and had held her a prisoner, because had she just left there, she would not have known Jesus' blessing upon her life. She would have known his healing, but not his blessing, not his acceptance of her as a woman, as a person who was entitled to come and touch him, who was entitled to come to him with a terrible need, and to receive it and to be made whole again, but not just made whole physically, but mentally and spiritually and emotionally. And what did that say to the people around them? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Sometimes we don't see our healing this side of heaven, but without the answers, we can still hold on to God's promises, never to forsake us. It says in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Because we live with a complex whirl of thoughts and emotions and feelings and bodies that break down on us. And it can seem like God doesn't really understand how it is with us. It can seem that God can be too distant. When I'm not doing things right, is God still understanding how I'm feeling? And remember I said at the beginning, God's love is unconditional. If you haven't prayed to him for a while, if you haven't read your Bible for a while, if you've missed church for a while, God's love is unconditional. God doesn't judge us on our merit. He judges the sin that has been surrounding us. And then he looks at us through his son, Jesus Christ, and he says, "My child, I am a child of God." Amen. I need to remind myself more often. We think he doesn't understand what we face, what we feel, what we go through when we're going through these times. But because he knows us more intimately than we know ourselves, he gave us everything that we need to keep us close to him. We know that he knows us more intimately than we know ourselves, because I love reading Psalm 139 from verse 13. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered." I always say to my grandchildren, and I've said from the time they were little, "Do you know, when you were in your mum's tummy, I believe Jesus popped his head and said, 'Hi, little guy. You don't know me yet, but I know you. And I love you. You are precious.'" Sometimes I think that as grown-ups, we need to remember that God wants to look at you and say, "Hi, little guy. Hi, Diane. Do you know I've loved you since before the beginning of time? You are mine and you're precious." And we can say that for every single one of our names. And that's not being frivolous. Our God is a holy God, but you know what? Our God is a loving God, and our God wants to be our dad, and our God wants to be, even if we have the most wonderful earthly dads, an even better heavenly dad, because he loves us with such a perfect love, and he knows us with such a perfect way. He knows every intimate detail about us and loves us. He loves us beyond. It's wonderful. Jesus gave us a safety line to keep us attached to him. Like an umbilical cord. So that it keeps us alive and it breathes for us when we don't know how to. And when we don't know how to keep going, and when we feel crushed, and when we feel bruised, or when we feel imprisoned and we can't see any sign of release, God is there. There's a little book, I've read a few bits, this my lady called Amy Carmichael, wonderful servant of God. God used her immensely, but just like everybody else, she had doubts about herself, and she wrote a little book. And this book says, his thoughts said, his father said. His thoughts said, basically, is her thoughts and the things that she went through. And then what her father said. His thoughts said, my heart is overwhelmed. His father said, thou art not the first to feel so. Here is a word for thee. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And his father poured comfort into him, saying, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto him, the son was strengthened. Then he remembered how often at midnight or in the small hours of the morning, when all life's molehills become mountains, some familiar passage of scripture flowing through his mind had renewed his strength. And he knew that in those words was a power that was not of this earth. You could be honest with God, because God wants to be invited alongside and to show you he's got the bigger picture and he's able. The Father poured comfort into him and he was strengthened. Jesus said more than once, peace to you. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled and neither be afraid. Remember those words, his thoughts said. Our thoughts can say so many things, but our thoughts are not the truth. What we see and what we feel isn't always the truth, even though it can seem as though it is. Our circumstances affect us, and our feelings and our emotions change according to the circumstances, but the Word of God is an unchanging truth. And while we live in this world, we can see and be in situations which are true in this world's eyes. But Jesus Christ is the truth, and the Word of God is the truth that is a living word, that we can speak to situations and situations can change. Natural things in this world can change through God's Word. When we speak the word of God in the name of Jesus, it is power beyond this earth. And we can speak faith into situations and into circumstances that surround us, that God is able. The word of God is the safety line that holds us to something solid, to a firm foundation that cannot be shaken. It's an anchor. And often, because of our circumstances, we don't, we won't, we can't read the word, we can't pray. And this is a living word. And God doesn't beat us or berate us because we're not doing that. And this is where, when we're in that situation, nestle into somebody else's faith. Because there will come a time in each and every life when we'll struggle, when we'll feel as if our faith is failing us, or when we feel like that bruised, crushed reed, or that smouldering, flickering flame, and we'll feel as if we're about to be snuffed out, that we can't and we don't know how to do this anymore. And I find myself in a position where I can't speak. I can't read. I can't take anything in. I don't even know if I trust anymore. Then ask somebody to pray for you. nestle into somebody else's faith, who at that moment in time may be feeling stronger than you are. And the Holy Spirit in you will breathe for you, will speak to God and utter those words that you cannot say, and hold you close to God. Jesus came to break into prisons that were physical and the prisons that were in our minds. And he came to set the captives free wherever they are. Whether you're a prisoner in your mind or whether you're a prisoner in real life, Jesus Christ is able. Mark 5 verse 36 says, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Mark 9:23 says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And the word believes, it means to have faith in. It means to entrust, especially with one's well-being. It means to commit. It can be really difficult sometimes to commit and to entrust your well-being to God. It's far easier to believe for somebody else. The psalmist wrote, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In other words, you, God, and your word illuminates my life, my path, and shows me how to go. I trust you to show me and to walk with me. I just pray that today, some of these words, some of these promises will just fan that flame in your heart and will help to build up that bruised and crushed reed, that God will tenderly today just lift that bruised reed and say, "It's okay. You're not going to be stamped on. You're not going to be trampled down. You're not going to be crushed. I've got you. I've got you." And I'm going to leave you with a scripture that has kept me through some of the darkest times that I have faced. And I have said this over and over and over and over, because God put it in my head and then he put it in my heart. And when I've needed it, it's kept me. Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." It's an act of will. And it's an act of will where sometimes we won't be able to do it because we're human. And we get scared and we get tired and we get ill and we get interrupted and we get weary. And then you choose to say, "You will keep him in perfect peace, her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." It's a living word, and God keeps his promises. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you that you are a God who is able. You are able to do anything beyond that which we ask or can even imagine. You know every single person here today. You know everything that we are facing, everything that we are going through, all the doubts, all the fears, all the uncertainties. And I thank you, Lord, that we need not fear tomorrow, because you are there before us. You have the eternal perspective on our lives. You know every fibre of our being. You know every fibre of our makeup. And you are able to keep us. I thank you that your plans for us are good, to give us a future and a hope. And I thank you that you promise that you will never leave us, nor forsake us, that you are with us through every single step of this life. And while we have breath in our bodies, you are with us. And when we leave this earth, we will go home with you. Oh, what a privilege to be called children of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the promises over our lives. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit keeping us close to you, just like a baby with an umbilical cord, getting everything that it needs from its mother. Lord, that and more do you do for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.